Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our PM Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on a Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. I get a chance to share a microphone and a platform with one of my most favorite people on the planet. His name is Ole Cantos. Ole and I met several years ago, I suppose, through a phone call, and we started a phone call. I found out a little bit about him. And I playfully say this. I'm going to playfully say what I'm going to say next, playfully but somewhat sincerely. He called me up. We started speaking. He said he worked in Washington, D.C. That's okay. He said he was working. Sometimes, occasionally, he works with different government administrations. And I said, okay. You know, a little wobbly there, you know, government. There we go. And then he said he was an attorney. And quite honestly, sincerely, like, that's when the my temperature started to cool. Not because I'm afraid of attorneys. I just don't like most of them. So there are some favorite attorneys. And by the way, most of your problems will probably either be generated by or created from or whatever attorney. So I playfully say these things. But the reality is that there's a couple of really good attorneys that we like. Ole Cantos happens to be one of them. Another, I got to give plugs, Kevin Grimes, right? MLM attorney, got to give Kevin Grimes a big plug. He's a really good guy. And by the way, he does a lot of really great things in his local community as well. Was a distributor for an MLM company, does a lot of MLM stuff, so really good guy. Then there's Jim Turner. Jim Turner is an attorney. He worked with Ralph Nader back in 1968, helped author a book called Chemical Feast, best-selling book, New York Times bestseller, great guy, does a radio show with us on Fridays at noon. So Fridays is attorney day, I suppose. 50% of our radio shows on Fridays are done by attorneys. And those are like the three. There's a couple of other ones that I have some levels of respect for. But the reality is that it's being an attorney is a hard way to make a living, especially if you're on the wrong side. So the cool thing about this is when we started that conversation, you know, I got a little bit off on a tangent, you know, oh, so you've worked with which administrations, you know, you worked with George Bush and then a little bit with Mr. Obama. And since he's working in Washington, D.C. right now and there's so much turnover, I'm suspecting, here's my prediction, Ole, Donald Trump's eventually running out of people because there's so much turnover. Stick around. You could be like Secretary of State because he's running out of qualified people. Looking forward to that announcement. But anyway, so we have a little bit of fun with this on a radio show that we have with Ole. But here's the best part. He's a really good guy. He's building a home-based business, doing it the right way. And he's a dad. I think his greatest accomplishment, sincerely, is that he's a dad. He adopted three boys. They are triplets, Stephen, Nick, and Leo. And we've documented their level of success here. They are business owners themselves or product users in the MLM world. They are Eagle Scouts. Never before in the history of the human race have there ever been triplets that got their Eagle Scouts that are also blind. So he's a trendsetter, if you will, a category creator, and we just love having him here on Building Fortunes Radio. And, of course, if you're looking for someone to build a home-based business with, you want to do it with Ole and the boys. They are just really great. They are great kids. And Ole was telling me just a little bit earlier, he's multitasking to a degree because he's got a speech to give. After we're done with this, he's got to go speak to a few people. And that's the kind of person that Ole Cantos is. So I wanted him on Building Fortunes Radio for one of several reasons. Number one, for those people that need the inspiration. He's an inspirational gentleman to begin with, but his boys and him are inspiring for me specifically as well because they overcome a lot of challenges and they turn their lives around. Ole was picked on when he was a kid. The boys were picked on when he was a kid. Nick was here last week telling us about some of the trials and tribulations, but everything can change with the right environment, focused in the right direction, and that is always awe-inspiring. And right now the boys are going to be going to college in the fall with the regular freshman class. And Ole is a gentleman who has, you know, helped funding that project and also now has the ability to kind of help bring the boys' life to their next level as well. So Ole is my hero, if you will. I say that with all great levels of respect. So he is my hero, in spite of the fact that he's an attorney and that he works with the government. So in spite of all those things, he's a really great guy and is one of those shining great examples. I say all that playfully, of course, but it's really great to be able to work with a really good guy that makes a very big difference in other people's lives. And I figured, Ole, one of the things we can talk about today is those awe-inspiring quotes to help you out with the speech that you're going to give to these boys. So first of all, thanks for being here and welcome back on your own radio show.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Before even getting into all the stuff today with speeches, there's actually an update for our friends who listen to us on a regular basis here. Leo is going to start working at Harvard University.
Wow.
Yay, buddy Leo! So he's
wow.
actually, during the time of this training that he's there, one of the networking goals of why I wanted them to go to Boston was specifically to build entree into that world, because I keep wanting them to hit the stratosphere. No matter where they are, I want them to go higher and higher, because it's good for all of us to grow. And so one of the key dreams was for at least one of them to get close enough, at least, to have that happen. And I thought ahead of time, the boys and I met in family council. You know, we do like a family meetings from time to time, and just to sort of talk about things in the future. And as we planned ahead, and everybody was thinking, wow, gosh, getting into Harvard, that'd be magnificent. Or just, you know, even to have mentors who are from Harvard, either of those two things are really worthwhile goals, or both of them are worthwhile goals. And so I thought, well, heck, let's get them to do training at a training center, but yet have them close enough to where they're near where Harvard people can be. And so starting with the local church congregation that they go to there, a lot of them are Harvard people, except that all of them are like Harvard Medical School. So this is completely out of the interest level of what the boys want to do. So that really didn't help directly. But at the same time, for them to have friends, most of whom are either Harvard or MIT people, it's just incredible. I mean, everybody there has been really supportive. And so this whole thing of the Harvard reality that's about to happen there is to pave the way for eventually, who knows, maybe he can transfer into Harvard later. You know, who knows? But he is so determined to figure out a way. So he's going to be working to help support Harvard undergraduate students with disabilities by helping to make sure that their materials are accessible. I mean, so he's going to be basically helping to staff the accessibility efforts for the students who are currently there. But while he's there on campus, his goal will be to network with students, as well as to meet people in the administration and to say, what will it take for me to get in here? You know, and so he is now physically going to be going there on a regular basis, where I have physically myself never stepped foot onto the campus yet. You know, and here he is. That's going to be his new home away from the center. You know, that where he goes to, and I'm so proud of him. I'm proud of all the boys, but this is the most recent thing. And then, I mean, there's other things that are happening with Stephen and Nick. That once I receive confirmation, I'll talk about that on a future program. But the reason why I bring this up here isn't just to say, oh, look at what my boys have done, but it's more a matter of underlying the thing that Peter, you and I have talked about here many, many times, which is that when we really focus on the things that we want and we find ways to add value to people, the rest truly does take care of itself. I mean, there's so many things that are ready to hit. I mean, there are things that I know that are coming that I'm so eager to tell everybody here ahead of time about, but I can't because it's not out yet. But once, you know, but there's stuff coming in May, there's stuff happening in June. I mean, like, things are coming just down the pike here, and we think that they've done all these awesome things up to now. That's nothing compared to what's coming. I mean, it's just really, really exciting.
Can I,
so,
So, good news. Hey, real quick, we have a caller from a 617 area code with the ending in 5856. Is that one of your boys?
Yeah, that's one of the boys. Yeah. Oh, they're calling in. Great. It might be Nick.
Okay. Are they supposed to speak, or am I just going to keep them on mute for now?
Yeah, have them patch in. Maybe. Yeah.
Okay. So here we go. I think this is Nick. Nick, you here?
Hi, Peter. This is Nick.
Excellent. Hey, thank you for being here. Hey, just so you know, for those people that want to know a little bit, you know, if Leo does whatever he's going to do with Harvard, let me just kind of share with you my spin on that, is you got to put yourself in an environment so things can happen. So, you know, he could be doing anything. He could be just bumping into a guy at a grocery store who might be a Harvard professor that might have an in for him. So you never know. You got to let the magic happen. So just like Nick has done before relative to the business of finding it everywhere, I call it, remember we said there's the very scientific oxygen, not, you know, the oxygen molecule, is nitrogen molecule in the air, you know, a little bit of helium, hydrogen, a few other things as well, and then you also have the business molecule. You know, there's business everywhere. So if you're in the Harvard environment, then you never know what might happen. He might actually, you know, he could be doing anything. He could be carrying the groceries out for a guy, or he could be just doing some grocery shopping and bang into somebody from Harvard. And then he should try to get in anyway just to be able to quit, because there's been a lot of billionaires that quit Harvard. Just getting in and quitting is a good thing. Or he could be like Steve Jobs, you know, wherever he was around his college, he actually like sat in a couple of classes, and that made all the difference. When he didn't have the pressure of actually passing anything, he was able to sit in a couple of classes over wherever he went, and that made all the difference. Oh, and by the way, just for those people that want to know, if you ever want to go to Harvard online, Michael Sandel does a really great, I don't know if you guys know this, but Michael Sandel is a Harvard professor, does a great lecture series at a domain name. You'll find him at harvardjustice.org. harvardjustice.org or justiceharvard.org, one or the other. I think it's harvardjustice.org. Or if you do a YouTube search for Michael Sandel, you'll see what it's like to actually be in a lecture hall at Harvard University. He had a really, really, really great class. That's the closest I've ever been to Harvard. And by the way, the closest I've ever really wanted to be to Harvard, because it wasn't part of my radar. But if you want to see what it was like, there you go. So excellent. Okay, good. So good, Leo. Nice job. So, okay, Oli, back to you.
Oh, thank you. And I really appreciate that information. We're going to have to go and look that up. The thing that that has also happened this week is actually something I want to not really exactly let you in on, because it's not news, but it's just an experience that I had that I actually wanted to talk about here somewhat anonymously. In the sense that there was somebody who was looking at me for a potential position, and it's not the White House or anything like that, but there's somebody who was looking at me for something.
You know, there's going to be an opening of the White House for you eventually.
I'm happy to be of support in other ways, to the administration, but I don't know if I want to go to the White House at present. I think I can be better useful in other places with, you know, in government.
Short term, it could be a weekend gig.
Who knows? Who knows? You know, but I mean, if ever they called me for anything like that, I would be, of course, honored to be of support, you know, but because I know the disability agenda on the Republican side. I wouldn't say more than everybody, but I know a good amount. You know, depending on what the issue is. So, the interview that, not even an interview, it was more like a phone call, just sort of informal with this person. And the person actually asked me a question that I actually found very, very jarring. There'll be a point to it, I promise, like there always is. One of the questions, besides qualifications and what I do, et cetera, the person said, "So, Oli, one thing I'm just really wanting to know is, would you feel comfortable just always staying in my shadow?" Like, what? You know, like, what do you say to that? you know, and then there's this an ensuing conversation that came along. But the fact that it worried the person that somehow I would outshine the person, it just was jarring to me. Like, really, this is something that you worry about, you know. And the reason why I wanted to bring this up is because so many people in the world, for various reasons, they like to be the center or the, you know, whatever. They like to be the one. And I've made it clear that I'm perfectly happy playing a subordinate role, and because of this person's role, they are the center of what they're doing. And that's something that should be supported in that context. But the thing that I found troubling was how the person had to actually ask me that question, because he knows that we've been in the press all over the place. We've been on radio, like, not in addition to here, we've been on a lot of other radio features, TV, newspapers, magazines, blogs, online content on all of the, or on the major social media platforms, etc. So he knows of our high media presence, but somehow that bothered him because he was thinking that I would somehow not be comfortable if someone else were to have that kind of attention. And the reason why this is all important for the purposes of this audience is that all of us run into people from time to time who, I guess, I don't want to say that the person is necessarily insecure or anything, but who worry about such things, and who somehow feel threatened whenever someone else gets attention, and that's not how it should be in many contexts, as well as in the multi-level marketing context. It should never be a matter in our industry who gets the attention. It should be a matter of who is adding value, whether that's behind the scenes or in front of people or whatever. I actually love the opportunity to be supportive of people behind the scenes at every opportunity, even when my name is not on something, even when my goal, and not even whatever, when my function or role is to just stay behind the scenes. I'm fine with that. I've always been fine with that. And we have to, within this industry, we have to be mindful of how we need to be humble servants of the people who we are approaching for our respective businesses. We have, each of us has something special to offer by way of our respective companies. But when we approach it where it's not about us, and of course we say it's not about us, but when people have in their minds different weird questions, then yeah, they feel it's about them in some ways, you know. But we just have to be mindful about how when we approach people, that it needs to be in the spirit of humble service, of just being willing to be there for them and to be friends with them. And we've talked about this before, being friends with them whether or not they are interested in or become a part of our businesses, or if they buy products from us, or if they don't buy products from us. If we have that kind of approach of saying, look, just I'm here to help you with whatever you need because I want to, not because I need to get anything out of it, but because I really want to be of help. I do that every day. And by the way, so does Nick. Nick, I'm glad Nick's on because Nick makes it a point always to jump up first to be of help to people. That's part of his identity. That is who he is as a man. It feels weird to say as a man. He's my kid. But as a man, that's who Nick is, because that's how he grew up as a boy in the latter part of the years from 10 to 18, you know. And I really am proud, and I want the world to know on here, and for anybody who hears this in the future, how proud I am of Nick for always having such a spirit of humble service for people. Anything he can do to help, it is within his power, he will do it. He never asks for anything. He never tells people that he's done things. I frequently hear that he's helped people, not even because it's been brought to – not because he tells me, but because I hear about it from somebody else. Like, oh, thanks to Nick for whatever. And I love that about Nick, among many things. And it's that example that Nick does, just by living his life, that we should all, including me, we should all learn from. Because when we always have that spirit of just wanting to be of help, like, I got it, I'll do it, sure. I mean, and it's incredible. And the other thing, too, that Nick, I often ask his help with, not in a business context, but I lose things from time to time. And then Nick's like, I'm on it, Dad. And the next thing, found it. That's what he literally says. And like, he just offers, he initiates wanting to help people in whatever way he can. And I think that if we all did more of that, if we all just offer to be of help to people around us, both within and outside of an MLM business context, then the world would be better. And we as network builders within this industry would be better. Because then imagine the face of this industry changing if each and every one of us made it a point to be of service. And that includes being of quiet service and not saying, look, I did this, I donated this much, I did this, you know. I mean, that's not really – then if we make sure to tell people all the things that we do to be of service, that's not really serving them. That's serving our own interests. That's not true genuine service. Okay. Genuine service is where you just do it just to do it, and that's what Nick does. So, Nick, not to put you on the spot, but, son, do you have examples of how you like to be of help to people? And I'm just wondering if you could just share your thoughts from the heart about just why you are that way. Like, you know, it's just in you. It's just always been your nature. Can you tell people about that, please?
Well, I don't really know. All I know is that I like helping people. It's just one of the cool things I like to do. You know, I don't mind giving people. I don't like to tell people anything. Like, you know, it's just not my way. It's not my style. But if I were to give someone money, it'd be like, I either do one of two things. Either one, go up to someone and give them money, or two, find someone, hand them money, like, and then totally like sneak away and try to be as quiet as possible by doing it. Because see, the thing is, I enjoy seeing, even though I can't see with my eyes, I enjoy. I don't know. It gives me a rush for some reason. Whenever I do something for someone, especially when it's giving someone something to someone, my heart tends to beat faster for some reason. And
yeah.
And it's for some reason in that moment of giving, you seem to feel well, and you seem to be more energized for some reason.
Yeah, and Nick, that heart beating in your chest, that feeling of satisfaction and how much you love that shows just how you do it for its own sake. That's the kind of exhilaration that we can all get when having the right heart and the right mindset for people. We should turn over time back to Peter for thoughts in a commercial.
Yep, let's do the commercial break. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to Building Fortunes Radio. If you sell a product or service, then you should check out PM Marketing's NetworkLeads.com. Just visit www.networklead.com. For over 18 years, PM Marketing has helped distributors build their home-based businesses through lead generation, website development, automated email delivery systems, and sales training. If you're looking for a way to increase your skills and increase the number of people that see your product or opportunity, NetworkLeads.com can help. To learn more, visit www.networkleads.com. Ask about their lead management system, capture pages, personalized websites, MLM training, Humongous blogs, the Humongous Classified Ad Network, Building Fortunes Radio, or their webinar schedule. Networkleads.com can be your one-stop shop for everything you need. And now, back to our show.
And we are back. Peter Mingles here with Ole Cantos and Nick Cantos, and we're talking about cool stuff. So, Ole, back to you.
Thank you, Peter. So Nick, that feeling that you describe is just so powerful, and it's addicting. It's addicting, isn't it, son? Just that feeling of being able to make that kind of difference. So, So the next thing I actually wanted to ask you, Sun, is what were some stories of when you either gave anonymously or you did whatever? And I'm only asking you this just so people can learn from your life. What was the initial time that you remember when it really hit you, like, you know what, I want to do this, you know? And then how did you end up sticking with it after you did it the first time?
Well, it just happened randomly, you know. I was going through the mall, just you know, looking around. I was walking and talking to people for 2 months, you know, like physically speaking to people. And then, you know, I had some money in my wallet. So what I did, you know, I just found someone who I knew needed it more than I did, and you know, it just randomly happened. I just somehow walked up to that person, and I felt I should give him some of my money, and I did that. And you know, something, I felt great. I felt really good. I felt more energized. I had more. I felt like I could do a lot of things, and I loved helping the person, but I also noticed a lot of stuff that happened to me too, you know. And so, and the thing is I don't ask for things to happen to me. I don't really think about it. It just happens. And when things happen to me, it's like, well, okay, this is really cool. You know, people have helped me in the past, and they still do that. Like, you know, and I really feel that I should give back too, you know, because people need a lot of stuff more than I do, so I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I love that, Nick. So I guess if there's a big lesson and takeaway to our audience during this session, it's that the spirit of humble service is actually a way to drive success. And ironically, if we actually serve in order to be successful, it won't work. It's
no.
Very, I mean, you maybe, Nick, you could describe that a little bit more.
There are two kinds. So this is what happens. And this is just from my perspective. You are not judged based on the amount of service you do. You are judged based on the amount, the service you do, and the attitude you have doing it. If you do service, but you want, but you're looking for something out of it, then it's not really helpful. It's just, well, I'm doing this because I want something out of it. I want some whatever it is. But if you do it because you just want to help someone, then success comes later. It's happened to me. I've seen things happen to people when they give. That's my personal first law of wealth, to be generous towards others.
And son, that's a good law by which to abide, because as counterintuitive as it is, one of the ways to expedite our path down the road to wealth is to give freely and lovingly of what we've got. Because when we have that feeling of abundance, then that feeling of abundance actually paves the way for really amazing things. Because we're friends with money. We do what Rhonda Byrne has called making friends with money. It doesn't mean love of all money, so sort of thing. But we just need to be friends with money. And in other words, we need to not feel like, oh, well, money is so scarce, you know. And if we choose not to give because we feel like we just don't have enough for ourselves practically, then we feel like money's lacking. And if money's lacking, the more you think about the lack you've got, then the more lack you have. But when we give in an entirely different way, then we recognize the fact that money is in its abundance all around us. It's all around us. There's more than enough for us to make personally than we would know what to do with. There's also more than enough for us to give. and for us to be the conduit and the pipeline for making that difference in building the world. So when we talk about building the network marketing industry, it's not just building it from a business standpoint, it's also restoring it to the credibility that it had previously by always focusing on building the world up, again, regardless of whether or not people come into the business, our businesses or not.
The network marketing industry should be about two things. The first thing is we should be about helping others. Okay, that's the first thing, because when we help our not just our downline or whatever, when we help other people to be successful in this business, they'll want to stay. They'll want to be with you because you know they know that you're a trustworthy person and that you are willing to actually give them advice or help them directly, which is always a good thing. And the second thing about that it should be about is helping people who are not in the business. So, you know, just helping people randomly, you know, random acts of kindness, which is really good. And you hear about these acts of kindness, and you know, it makes people feel good. It makes me feel good when I hear about these. And so it makes me wanna just help others and just try to be a good person in general.
Absolutely. So with that, I think that Nick's thoughts are a good way to close, and for all of us to remember that and to act upon it and to just recognize the fundamental core profound philosophical truths of what Nick said. So with that, back to you, Peter.
Excellent. So great examples, as usual. I can't wait to hear the next week's story because we're going to hopefully only give us some feedback of what happens when you do your speech. And I do have one comment about the gentleman who asked you the question when he says, would you mind being in my shadows? Unless you're a backup dancer for Britney Spears, like, that would be appropriate, you know? If you're a backup dancer for Britney Spears, you can't... And only to the best of my knowledge, I haven't seen you do many things, but I just don't think you are auditioning for a backup dancer for Britney Spears. So therefore, I learned one thing just real quick, and then we're going to call this a radio show. But one of my great mentors in the vacuum cleaner business, believe it or not, great philosophers in the vacuum cleaner business where I was, they said, you know, if you hire somebody or if you can only hire one guy to be your replacement, he's probably going to take your job. But if you can hire, train, and develop lots of people that are better than you, you have a value as a manager where your job is always going to be super secure. So as long as he can do more than one, he's probably going to be okay. So having said that, those are just general philosophies you can add to whatever. We're going to catch you guys next time. Nick, thanks for being here. Have a great week.
Yeah, thank you.
And we're going to catch you guys later. Say hello and congratulations to Leo for his Harvard environment. We're going to catch you guys next time. Thanks, everyone. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the designated Building Fortunes Radio segment with Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website for our featured segments. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. At Building Fortunes Radio, we wish you the success you deserve and are willing to work for. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.